listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Wan Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer any of your relationship questions. The call-in number for the show will be 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. Before we start the show, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Wan Institute. The Wan Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting and loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of WANT training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. If you want information about any of our services, you can reach me at the office at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com, or you can call the office at 949-723-0338. Tonight we have Andy Shaw. He's one of the coaches. Me and Andy have been trained by Dr. Allen to carry her message on her tools and her information on the masculine and feminine energies and how to complement each other in a relationship. So, Andy, do you want to say hello to the audience?
Hello, audience.
Okay. So, again, hopefully we can get some callers, 323-203-0815. I just want to do a shout-out. Dr. Pat, she's still alive. She is still kind of working a little bit of part-time. She's not taking any new clients or groups. She is going to be 91 years old in September. Unfortunately, she's not able to do the radio show because her hearing is a little lost and she cannot hear the questions. But maybe in the future we'll be able to have her on just to say hello. And she's asked me to carry on with the radio show to help spread her message. And I have a co-host, Andy, that helps me so the ladies can get a male perspective as well. And we do want male men to call in, too, with questions. And this could be questions about work, family, relationships, all types of communication questions. So, Andy, do you want to say anything to the audience?
Please call us.
Even if you don't have a question, just give us a call and tell us a testimonial. I have a lot of people that email me at the office and tell me how Dr. Pat helped them get married and now they start families. And her tools really work. Oh, I think we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, I have a couple.
Okay, go ahead.
And thank you for taking my call. My first one is about, I'm online on a dating app, and I've ran into this a couple of times, and I'm in communication with someone new, but there I get a yellow flag instinct when men overshare things that I feel are inappropriate.
Let me ask you what's inappropriate, because all males' brains go for sex.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a little bit of like mothering, like that is being asked.
Give us an example before we discount him.
Yeah, sure. He had talked about how he hates dating apps and how he, which is fine, obviously. But how he's terrified about going on another date, which is like, okay, why are you talking to me about this? You should talk about this with your buddies.
Well, that's kind of showing a little bit of openness and vulnerability.
I don't know why it feels like mothering to me. And then he also, the things that actually I felt were inappropriate was he was telling me he went on a couple dates and one of them, he had to take her home early because she said she forgot to shave and she wished she would have shaved because she wanted to have sex with him. And then the other one, he hooked up with like a married woman And this is, again, within, we haven't even met. And
it's well, dear, sometimes people put foot in their mouth and they're not all perfect. He might be oversharing, but I don't see anything where he's, you know, he may be a great guy. He just is afraid of apps and he's sharing too much. He might, you know, Dr. Allen says, go out with every man unless he has an orange jumpsuit and give them at least 2 to 3 dates to see if there's chemistry. You're already blemishing him. And it might be something inside of you that's pushing him away. Because I don't hear, I've been on a lot of dating apps and stuff. They all say that. We all tell the horror stories. Mothering would be you Mothering would be you trying to coddle him. Oh, poor baby, let me help you. That's mothering. And do you want to give her a couple of pointers?
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
How are we doing?
Pretty good, thank you.
Good. Hey, so, you know, in Dr. Allen's world, Dr. Beth's world, it's really not about appropriateness. It's about moral, ethical, and legal. Is there anything that he said that was immoral, unethical, or illegal?
No.
Then that's it. Everything else is fair game.
I didn't write them off completely, but I wanted to get your guys' opinion on that.
Can I make a suggestion? When he's talking like that, just say, you know what? Thank you for sharing, but that's too much information for me to take in right now.
Okay. Write that one down.
Yes. You say thank you for sharing, because once when somebody can open up the gates and share and you allow it, it keeps coming. So the first time you hear this kind of inappropriate talk, you say, gee, I'm sorry for your bad experiences. However, this is too much information for me to take in at this time. Let's change the subject. That's a nice way to turn the subject. Maybe he's lost. He doesn't know what to talk about.
Okay. Yeah, because I haven't completely wrote him off, but it did stand out to me. And then the second part of this particular interaction.
Okay.
He had mentioned, let's hit a workout, which in the past I would have been like, okay, sure. Yeah, let's go get a workout in. But I had heard you once advise someone who was she was talking to someone and he was like, oh, I'll be your study buddy. And it felt kind of like a buddy situation.
Well, we don't know that yet, dear. You have to go out and get and have a date. He's asking to meet. Sure. And he's asking you for a date for a workout.
Yeah, and you think that's the...
We do not design their dates. You either yes or no. And if you're going to say no to his idea, it means that you want to lead. It's a signal that you want to control. You don't want to follow him. Now, I don't remember that about it. If somebody had been going out a few times, that may have been the incident.
Okay, yeah, because I do recall her saying, oh, he wants to be my study buddy. And then you had given her some advice about saying, oh, you know, I don't want a study buddy.
Well, that's not a first date. There's two different situations. You're talking about a first date, and this other one was they had been going out a few times, and she doesn't want to be a friend zone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that picks up, and so I will consider this.
Dr. Pratt always says, give people a chance. You may not like what they say, but everybody is awkward they put foot in mouth all the time. See what his character is.
Yeah. I would probably say that he likes you more than he's letting on. And he's probably trying to show you, however immaturely.
Yes.
That he's desired.
Yeah.
That you should also desire him. And then if you use Sue's words, which are very good, by the way. I think that will help you move you forward and do less judgmental analysis. And, you know, do 3 dates. Okay. We're all weird on the first date. We're less weird on the second date. The third date, regardless of whether you think you have chemistry or not, just do the 3 dates. And by the third date, they're more relaxed. They're going to be more who they are. And then you can decide to go forward or not.
And maybe he's just warning you that he doesn't want you to be along with those other girls that he has to blemish.
Yeah, which
I... he's basically saying, please, I hear him say, please don't be a weirdo.
Yeah, please don't be married.
Or please don't be a weirdo. Yeah, don't con me.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I got that feeling, but I also felt like, does he want me? Why is he telling me this? He should be talking about this with his friends, not with
them. Well, we don't analyze them. We just take care of ourselves and investigate. That's part of duty dating, is investigate and get real information and data to back up your assumptions.
Okay. And then my final question, thank you. I should say I'm glad I talked to you guys first before messaging him back, because I wasn't sure how to move forward with the information he gave me.
Okay. What's your next question?
My next one, and I'm glad Andy's on the phone, because I had heard him say, and I just wanted clarification and to hear his thoughts about this as a man, because I heard him once say, there was a time in his life that he was really busy with work, so he appreciated if a woman was patient with him or something along those lines, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because there was someone talking about men that weren't really that available and that were texting like once a month. So I kind of sided with her because I felt that, let's say a man is in his super busy, like really busy with work, then that to me, if you're so involved in work, then relationships take time and energy and effort. If you could only give a woman once a month, then that makes me feel like you're not ready for a relationship. Why should a woman, I there was a guy that I was dating, for example, and it was like a once a month thing. And I don't want that.
But you're dating but are you dating numerous men or just focusing on the one? See, if a guy only comes around once a month, you should be dating others.
I was, but it does feel like a little bit of a waste of energy, even if it's just once a month. And then it takes mental like territory. Like even if you like this guy, he takes up your space in your heart. He takes the space in your head. So for me,
one thing about men have to do good work to feel good. They have to have all their cards in the row before they get into relationships and head to marriage and families. So he may be taking the slow boat, but he's not asking you to be exclusive with him. He's letting you be free to date others.
Wouldn't you say that they're just not in a good place then?
Go ahead, then. Let Andy talk, please.
So this is not about them. I'm going to talk to you from my perspective of being completely overwhelmed when I was at work for a little over a year. I wanted to date somebody, but I was being judged by how much I was available without even having a conversation about it. So this is not about where he's at. He's asking to meet you at a spot in the world. And you can either choose to meet him at that spot or not. But it's not about him. It's about what's good enough for you. What are your boundaries? What are your minimums? What are your requirements? Not your demands, your requirements.
Yeah.
So when we talk about that relationship contract, remember, we talk about time, space, money, and play. And in this case, it's under time. It's under the category of we. How much we time do you want? How much we time do you not want? And what is the minimum that is a deal breaker? If you don't have a deal breaker, I don't care if that date is once a year, it's still okay. So did you make a deal breaker at all with yourself or anybody else?
Got it. So it's just more of like my own requirement, and it those types of situations don't feel good to me. So it's not judging him. It's just more of like what I want.
Yeah, if you make it about you, like I'm all about, I respect your decision, but don't make it about him. This is not about the other guy. This is about what you want and what you don't want. And that's fine. Like you have a total right to be exactly where you are in life. He's just not compatible with you at the moment. And that's okay too. You can always keep him in your back pocket and say, hey, you know, when you're more available, I'll be, you know, call me. But until then, this isn't really working for me. And he might say, okay, you know, I'll quit in a year or something or whatever. But make it about you.
Okay, I love that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, you caller.
Appreciate you guys.
Okay, bye.
Good luck. Call back.
Bye. You. Bye-bye.
That was a good answer, Andy, because so many people focus on him, on what he's doing wrong, and make him the bad guy. That was a good answer there.
Personal experience, getting beat up. I didn't enjoy it.
Well, but you know what? That's where, you know, it's like, you know, so he, you know, only gives her one day a month. It's, it, you know, it's attention. She just maybe wants more, better, or different. And Dr. Pat always says we can't ask for more, better, or different from men.
Right. So we're accepting her. We're asking her to accept him as he is, which she's not doing, or reject him, which is fine. Accept or reject are both love for yourself.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, two thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's what we ask you to do. We just ask you not to tolerate, not to half love and half hate and drive yourself crazy.
Yes, that's true. Part of that sounds like a lot of women, when they want more from a man, they're super attracted to him. So it's the natural, they want more from him because he's their number one. And I can hear, I think that was part of the point, was she was a little bit, she said, attracted to him. So
And I know from firsthand experience, like I had a job a few years back and I was running around between Edwards Air Force Base, China Lake, and LA trying to get to a place financially that I thought I was okay at. And that took a lot of work and required a lot of patience that not many people had.
Yeah, that's true. And that's the one thing about men. They have to have their jobs under control with their finances before they get in, into serious relationships headed towards marriage and families. So a lot of times they are building up their careers, and dating is something they do. Once a week is actually normal in Dr. Pat's eye. So the call-in number is 323-203-0815. If we can have, I heard another caller try to call in during that last call. So if you were the caller, please try calling back. We'd love to take your questions.
I'm blanking out on the word. I'm looking at the answers book, and there is a pledge. There it is. For women, I promise on my honor to say no to immoral, unethical, and illegal treatment. Furthermore, I promise on my honor never to give, protect, or cherish a healthy, able-bodied human being over the age of 10, especially men, unless I get what I want first.
Okay.
That kind of went to the, that guy wasn't doing anything immoral, unethical, or illegal. But she's still saying no.
Yeah. And, you know, the dating, everybody talks about the horror date. That's part of the communication. It's kind of, I've heard them all too. And every lady hears it's just kind of, it's like funny stories sometimes just to kill the awkward silence.
Yeah. You want to do a few more pledges?
If you've got some, I think I have some too. I was going to talk on attachment styles, if you want to. I know that that's a topic that's been coming around, the attachment styles.
Let's do that.
There's the secure, the avoidant, and the anxious. And there's a great book that I have all my ladies read. It's called Attached, The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. It's by Amir Levine, MD, and Rachel Heller, MA. And I'm going to read a little bit about what the anxious attachment style is. And you can Google it, because a lot of people have these attachment styles, and it kind of tells you what's keeping you from a good relationship. So an anxious attachment style is a pattern of relating to other characterized by a strong desire for closeness, fear of abandonment, and tendencies to seek constant reassurance. And some of the key characteristics are fear of abandonment, need for reassurance, heightened emotional reactivity, clinginess and dependency, negative self-image, hypervigilance, and difficulty with boundaries. And generally, some of the causes are inconsistency or unpredictable parenting during childhood. When caregivers are inconsistently available or responsive, it can create a sense of insecurity and anxiety about relationships. Or it could be the trauma. Experiences like loss, abandonment, or abuse can contribute to the development of an anxious attachment style. And also past relationship experiences. Dealing with unresolved relationship issues or being ghosted can also impact attachment patterns. So that's, do you have any on what avoidant attachment style is, Andy?
I do, right here.
Oh, okay.
It's to people with avoidant dismissive attachment style tend to have a positive self-view and negative one of others. Consequently, they prefer to foster a high sense of independence and self-sufficiency, especially on an emotional level. Someone with the avoidant attachment style tends to believe that they don't have to be in a relationship to feel complete. They do not want to depend on others, have others depend on them, or seek support and approval in social bonds. Adults with this attachment style generally avoid intimacy or emotional closeness, so may withdraw from a relationship if they feel like the other person is becoming reliant on them in this manner. They also tend to hide or suppress their feelings when faced with a potentially emotion-dense situation, such as conflict.
In my ladies, I find that the avoidant is very prominent. Somebody gets into a relationship, and then it's too scary, so they push the guy away. They'll like the guy, but the minute the guy wants to be exclusive, they get too scared and push the guy away. And then months later, they want him back. It's a push-pull. The anxious, usually ladies, because that's basically what I work with, they smother men. They're always calling, where are you? I miss you. You never call me. They're a bottomless pit that needs constant reassuring. And it's very draining for the people in their relationships, because no matter how much love or attention they give these anxious attachment style people, it's never enough. So the one everybody to strive for would be the secure. And the secure attachment style, it's characterized by trust, stability, and a balance between intimacy and independence. People with this style tend to feel safe, stable, and satisfied in close relationships. They are comfortable with closeness and dependency. And don't worry about abandonment or rejection. Here are some of the characteristics. They have empathy. They're good communication skills. They're emotional regulations. They have high self-worth. Relationships. They're able to form strong relationships with friends, family, and partners. And independence. They don't fear being on their own. So what you want to strive for is secure. And the book that I gave, it will help you find or hopefully see what attachment style you are and how you can change that attachment style. It's got tools. It's a very easy read book. So if you want to get that, it's Attached, The New Science of Adult Attachment and How It Can Help You Find and Keep Love. It's a great book. So, again, hopefully we'll get another caller, 323-203-0815. If you're not able to call in, I do take questions. You can email me at info@drpatallen.com. I did get an email from somebody I want to go over with you, Andy, if you're willing to analyze this one or help this person.
Yeah, bring it on.
Okay. It says she's been in a relationship for about 3.5 months with a gentleman, and it was going good. And then out of the every so often, the gentleman kept asking her to, he reached out to her and she reaches back, but he's making notes to her. She said that, why don't you ever contact me or reach out to me? And she said that she prefers the man to chase the woman. She follows Dr. Pat's stuff. And the gentleman said, well, I want attention too. And then she said that one weekend he went away for a week, and then she didn't reach out, and he said he was going to reach out and text her with fishing pictures. And so she waited. She said she waited, and then he never reached out. And then she got this text a week later that said, I guess this relationship took its course. You don't seem interested in me anymore. I haven't heard from you. And we have a caller. Caller, you're on the air. With Andy and Sue, do you have a question?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, I was just letting you finish.
Hi.
I'm lucky to have gotten through. Great,
okay.
I'm glad.
Okay.
I had a question about a child, an adult child. My question is, I've been estranged from her for about 2.5 years, and I have continued to contact her and so forth, and then for about 3 weeks, I've been no contact whatsoever. So I was just wondering, what is the best path to do? It's a 21-year-old female with ADHD and a great attitude.
where was there a fallout between the two of you?
Not real. Yes and no. I mean, there was no real thing. About 2.5 years ago, she was in college and was kind of young, had just turned 18. And I was just really worried about her because she went to school at 17. So she had been in college for a year and was drinking and doing like sort of typical college parties and so forth. So I and not doing a lot of eating or, you know, just overall, just kind of, you know, worried about her. And as far as there was nothing. Over those 2 years or so, there were lots of like, oh, here's a picture of a cat. Oh, that's cute. Like, there wasn't a lot of real communication. So, but she's just been completely.
How are you reaching out to her? Can you give us an example of what you're saying to her?
Oh, sure, sure. I was reaching out through text, just similar kinds of things, like here's a cat and here's this and I want to get rid of this, do you want it, you know, stuff like that. And then obviously at the beginning I was probably doing a lot more like, I can't believe you're not talking to me.
Well, but that's right there. That's you. You're criticizing her. Yeah, she has a right.
Well, not I haven't to done that in 2 years.
Okay, yeah, don't do that, because if you force somebody,
yeah, that
might be pushing her away.
I haven't done that in 2 years.
Yeah. Well, what you do is you just write a letter that says, you know, I miss you. You know, it would be nice if we could talk. I hope there wasn't anything I did that pushed you away. If there was, I apologize, and I'd love to set up a time to talk. And just keep sending her that message.
Email.
Well, email,
letter.
You all of them if you want, dear. Like Dr. Pat says, okay. Do it in soak signals if you have to.
Well, I've tried all of that.
That's all you can do, dear. That's all you can do. Keep doing it, and maybe one day she'll want to reach out. But if you say, I can't believe you're not contacting me, that's guarantee you're making it about her and what she's doing.
No, I haven't done that. And no, that was like the beginning. Like, why are you, you know, like.
Yeah. Well, she may still be angry about that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted.
Yeah, no, she still may be angry about you attacking her for not reaching out.
Oh, she's angry at me for existing. So,
yeah, well, that's her, but you can't force her not to be angry at you. All you can do is keep giving her the olive branch, and maybe one day she'll mend it back with you. Andy, what would you want to say with this? Let me have Andy take his interpretation before we go to another subject.
Okay, because I just was wondering, because do I continue? I still continue to talk to her. How often do I talk to her? Like, how often do I reach out?
You can do it once a week would be normal. Not too often, because then you're pressuring her. Andy, what's your what would you suggest for her? That was my suggestion.
Okay, great.
We do a spouse communication. So you could actually ask her the question, how often can I talk to you? How often are you comfortable talking to me? And then whatever her answer is, it might be once a week, once a month, once a year, respect it. And then
if she says nothing, then do I continue to reach out? That's the problem. I don't know.
If she says she just wants no communication?
No, she doesn't say anything. She will not reply.
Okay, then your answer is to use a validation. Because remember that we got those three tools, right? The stroke and stand, the five-step cleanup, and validation. And validation is bringing the nonverbal to the verbal. So then you can use, you have every right not to answer me. I'm going to answer for you. Your answer is weekly, whatever it is you want to do, right? And then if you want something different, let me know. But until I hear from you differently, I'm going to do X.
Okay.
And leave it at that. And then do it once a week. If she wants less, she'll tell you. If she wants more, she'll tell you. But if she's not talking to you, insert the blank for them.
Yeah.
And let them know you're doing that. Make it very explicit. You have every right not to say these words to me, but I'm going to insert the blank for you until you do.
Well, that's good, because the way I always understood Pat Allen, it was a non-answer is a negative answer. So, like, do you want to talk? But that would be like, no, they don't want to talk if they're giving no response.
Well, yeah. So what I understand it to be, every answer that's not a yes is a no.
Right.
The question, how often do you want to talk, is not a yes or no answer question. So it has to be a different answer. And if they're not answering the question, then you have to give them an answer.
Okay. And then how long do you wait to get the answer, like 24 hours?
Well, you're not waiting to get an answer. You're giving it to them.
Oh, you're giving it to him right then. Like, how often do you want to speak? And then if you don't respond, then I'm going to say once a week.
Okay, let's do our scenario here. You're writing me, I'm your kid, and you're asking me, how often do I want to respond?
Okay, I'm texting you. How often do you want to respond?
Or how often do you want to message you?
And then, how often do you want me to message you?
Okay, pause the scenario for a moment. In your normal communication, how often does it take her to respond?
I haven't talked to her in 2.5 years.
You've had no contact in two, okay.
No, it might have been a fallout somewhere.
I reached out to her. I gave her a birthday present. I gave her an Easter gift. I gave her some other things, and I used to contact her at least once a week.
So you didn't contact her, you reached out.
Right. I reached out.
Under contact,
I would reach out via email. I've written I've written the letter that said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm here for you when you're ready. I've done it all.
Do we know if she is, do you know, is she in school? Do we know if she's still alive?
Oh, yeah. My mother sees her and talks to her.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. So, you know, the normal hi bye letter, right, is what I would normally talk about. If she's got no contact in 2.5 years, I would say this is my final reach out without you reaching out back to me. If I hear nothing from you, I'm going to assume you don't ever want to hear from me again.
Okay. One of the things I consider doing is, this is the first time I've ever not contacted her. So it's been since the end of July, and I've sent no texts, no emails. So I kind of thought I would wait the 8 weeks and then see kind of if that was, oh, wow, this is weird. She's not reaching out to me. So I thought I would wait the 8 weeks and see what happens, but I wasn't sure if I should do a hi bye letter or an amends letter or just wait until, you know, I don't want to necessarily wait another year until the end of July, but that's kind of around her birthday. So,
well, I like the idea of the 8 weeks, but I also would suggest you write your hi bye letter now. Just don't send it.
And just go ahead and send it in 8 weeks.
Well, reread it in 8 weeks and see if it's still the way you want to, if it's still, you know, appropriate to what you're feeling and thinking then.
And just follow the same formula that you would. So because we're both female, would I use the masculine formula, or would I use the feminine, as treating her as a masculine?
Well, there's really no formula of masculine or feminine. It's what you liked about them. What you don't like.
There's a difference for men and women.
No, no.
Well, so there is one difference in those high bye letters. Sue's right. It's everything you like about them, everything you don't like about them. For a masculine, do you then go into everything you want in a relationship and everything you don't want? But for feminine, it's everything you don't want, then what you do want. The paragraphs are the same. They're just switched.
Different order.
Okay. So, and then, oh, that's great. So I think that's going to be the best thing. So I guess it doesn't really matter because I'm still putting the wants and the don't wants in there.
Yes. And then maybe at the very end, you could, for the paragraph 5, you could say, I apologize or want to make an amends if there was anything I did to push you away.
I don't know.
Throwing it out there in case there is something.
You don't know what it is, and you don't know what it's not. So until you know for sure,
I don't know what it's not. I know there's something.
You know, you think there's something. You believe there's something. Unless you know that she has told you, you don't know. These are all thoughts and assumptions.
Right. Well, true, because there could be another reason that she's decided not to talk to me. Doesn't necessarily mean it was something that I did, but
maybe. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'm going to go with whatever, write the letter in whatever form is your most natural, most authentic self.
Okay.
Because
write it down. Wait 8 weeks, see what happens.
I have a feeling that she may not want you as her mother, but she might want you as her friend.
Okay.
And that's over the age of 10, you're supposed to be in your feminine as a human being, not as a mother. You treat them as individuals. If you're giving unwanted advice, unwanted mothering, that can drive them away.
Okay.
So you probably are going to have to decide whether you want to be her mother and drive her away, or an individual and have her as a friend. Because I'm not sure you can have.
And go from there. Now, I don't really do a lot of holidays or celebrations. So should I still continue to reach out? Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Christmas. I had already kind of considered that I wouldn't do that.
I think Dr. Pat always says do rituals, even if you don't.
He always says do the ones that you celebrate, but yeah. I don't celebrate them.
Well, then if you don't celebrate, you just said you use Christmas. You don't celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving, her birthday.
No.
Okay, then don't say anything. Yeah. Those are ways that you can reach out because it's a ritual. And all.
I have a question. You may not celebrate it, but does your daughter? Is it important to her?
think so.
Well, you can ask your mother. Verify.
I can ask my mom, yeah.
Because this is not about you. This is about her. And if it, right. a holiday is important to her, then I would suggest you reach out.
Okay.
Whether you celebrate or not, doesn't matter. You're honoring her beliefs and wishes.
Okay. So wait 8 weeks, send the hi bye letter after I reread it, and then reach out ritual until something happens. Or, yeah.
Or until you get her reaching out and tell her, I'm here if you want me, let me know.
Okay. And then that has to be a formalized thing as well, a formalized statement.
It has to be communicated.
I'm reaching out. It's obvious that you don't want to talk to me or you're not reaching out. So
don't say that. Don't say that. Just make I statements. Don't make it about them. Okay. Only make it about you, how you are feeling, what you're thinking, what you're observing.
Okay.
I haven't heard from you. Miss you.
Yeah, call us back in the 8 weeks and we'll help you. See where you're at then.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. There must have been something that happened there.
Yeah, but it's so dang hard because even I've got a friend that was like 13 years ago, and I went to visit their house. And like the next day, they're mad at me, and I don't know why.
Well, and sometimes it maybe she can be mad at you till she's not. It's not up to the person to try and figure out. I mean, everybody's an individual. Maybe she just maybe felt overbearing and wants freedom for a while.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm here if you want me, and if you don't, there's nothing I can do. I've done my part. Rest is God's will.
Okay. The call in number is 323-203-0815. Oh, we have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I'm calling about my brother.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm concerned about him.
Okay.
He has shared that he wants to get married to a woman and he wants to have kids, but he's only dated one girl in his early 20s and now he's 28. He is very overweight. He's depressed. He's had suicidal ideation. I know we have a feminine dad and a masculine mom who probably castrated him. Any ideas of what's going on? Any tips I can give him?
Andy, do you want to take that one since you're a man? And she says it's her brother. How old is your brother?
He's 28.
Does he have a good job education-wise?
Yep, he has a bachelor's degree, he works in IT, and he has a house.
Okay, so he's a productive man. Does he ever get out socializing at all at church or anything where he's around other people, or is he like a introvert?
He does spend time with his friends, I would say, maybe a couple times a month.
Oh, okay. Andy, do you have any suggestions? And you said he's slightly suicidal that you notice?
I've known that for a few years now.
Oh, okay. But he wants to be married, but he's not actively looking to get to find a woman.
Right.
Andy, do you want to answer that? What some reasons might be or how to help him?
Yeah, the conversation keeps coming back. Yeah, I mean, support him. Obviously, I would... trying to think here. Support your brother. I assume you like him, yes?
Yes. So we were estranged for a decade, and then last year he initiated family therapy. So we're rebuilding.
Oh, that's a good start. I just want to throw something out. What if you offered to help him do online dating? Since you're a girl, you know what girls want.
Okay, I can do that.
You can go to him and ask him, Andy, would that be a good suggestion?
I'm sorry. I thought there was a girl that he was intent on dating.
He doesn't have. He does. He has. He's insecure on meeting women.
Oh.
Yes, we're trying to get him out to meet women. He wants to get married, but he's an introvert. He's got a weight problem, and he's afraid of women. More or less, is what I'm hearing.
Send him my way.
Send him to your way? Oh.
Yeah.
Andy's going to have a men's group. Maybe he can join in Andy's men's group. I'm trying to get it organized. Or Andy could help him too.
Okay.
I'll
suggest that.
Email me at the office, or I'll get your contact if you want to call the office, and we'll forward it to Andy. How should she present it to her brother, though?
I know a guy that works, that understands relationships, and he's offered to help. Would you be interested?
Okay, I can say that.
You can always say no, but the only thing I'm really going to work on is his words, which is the I want, I don't want, the rational words. And we're going to, he's going to be scared, which, you know, we all are, but there's plenty of stories to go around to say, hey, be scared, but do it anyways.
Exactly.
And, you know, okay. If he just needs a bro, like, you know, hold him up while he goes and asks, like, let's do this.
I'm going to share something. This is one of my girls in my ladies group that's called in. She wanted your opinion, Andy, and she's out. I pushed her to go out dating now. So now you can even tell your brother that I pushed you out to dating, so we can have Andy push him out to dating.
Yeah, let me.
That's a good idea. Maybe that'll encourage him.
Yeah, it's just going to be a couple dudes talking, and we're going to be talking in a way that will give him confidence to go try stuff. And we may not start with girls. We might start with, you know, I don't know, skateboarding or something. And just doing something that he's scared of, that will show that it's not going to kill him. Because that's what most of us are scared of. It's going to kill us until we realize it's not. And then we'll work our way iteratively through things that scare us and get to girls.
Okay. I like that approach.
So we can say, hey, I want a skateboard. Hey, I want that surfboard. Can I have it? Can I rent it? And then, hey, I want a date with you. Are you interested? The same words, slightly different focus.
Okay. That sounds good. I think that could help him.
And now you're comfortable with the words, you're just changing what you're looking at. And we'll work through rejection. Rejection's scary too, but that's probably, if he's open to it, I think I can work with him, as long as he's open.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you, caller. We'll set it up.
Okay, thank you, Sue. Thank you, Andy. Appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah, look forward to
it. We're running low on time here, so with this, we will, Andy and I will be back next week. We have a lot of great callers. We'd love to have some more next week. And if you can't call in live, just send me an email and we'll answer it on the radio. And then you can go into the archives and listen to it. So with that, I want to say good night. Andy, do you want to say goodbye to the audience?
Goodbye, audience. Be well.
Okay, thank you. See you next week. Bye.
Next week.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.